Tuesday, April 4th. And I'd like to call the meeting to order and acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The next item on the agenda is election of chair. Are there any nominations for the position of chair of Ed Tax Committee?
I'd like to nominate David Nelson. He does such a good job.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for David. Is there any discussion or any other nominations? Hearing none, all those in favor of David Nelson, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, David, now I'm volleying it to you for election of vice chair.
All right, thank you very much. Do we have a nomination for vice chair? Open the floor. No nominations? How about Susan? I'd like to nominate Susan.
I'll second that.
We have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to the approval of the previous minutes meetings. Minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look over? Do we have any comments, corrections? Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next step, citizens' comments. No citizens available for comments. And we'll move on to Debbie with financial statements.
Okay. So we have this packet here to talk about. And it's been a while since we've met. And I think the last time we met, I tried to use a BS&A report that didn't really work very well for this application. So we're back to the old way of presenting the results. Balance sheet is on top here. You can see the cash position of the ATAX fund is good. There are some due to, due froms associated with amounts due to and receivable from other funds. That's some housekeeping we need to do. Fund balance is $2,090,000. So that's kind of what you can think of as in the bank for future spending. Next page is the revenues. We've received two quarterly payments from the state and a little correction from Charleston County. The correction related to an Isle of Palms rentals that somehow got paid to the county by mistake. So the state wants to stay out of those kinds of corrections, so the county just cut us a check directly. But it is really part of the September payment. It should have been part of the September payment. It's a little, we've sold some assets that were purchased out of ATAX money. So those proceeds come back to the fund and then year-to-date interest. Now getting into expenditures, I did try to abbreviate the reporting a little bit. So instead of listing out each individual check for SCE&G and IOP water and such, I combined them so that there's just the year-to-date number. But then you can see the budget for each particular piece. It's a little more informative, I think. So you can see there electricity, water, maintenance, cleaning supplies, and the largest expense is the amount paid for the attendant and the daily cleaning of the facility. And you all know that it's kind of being renovated right now. We'll see that in a minute.
What kind of critters do we have there?
Rats.
Oh.
On the ceiling mostly. I mean, on the roof mostly.
Then the expenses associated with the contract for trash pickup on the beach and in the business district, that's combined there. Irrigation at Breach Inlet, beach trash barrels to replace the yellow ones with the palm tree. at the bottom of the page, year-to-date expenses associated with the city's website. Page two, costs associated with the giveaway t-shirts that we promote on the website. The payment to the CVB, you can see that's the amount associated with the September quarter. The amount associated with the December quarter that has not been paid, but that is has been paid since this report, is $93,602. The debt service, 75% of the marina debt service payment comes out of state aid tax. The FY 19 budget that we'll talk about, or that Linda will talk about in a minute, has the last of the marina debt service payments. So FY 19 is the final payment on the marina. So that money after next year will not have to be spent. Two-thirds of the marina bulkhead rehabilitation, there's no expense as of February, but that project is underway now and we expect it to be done by the end of June. So next time y'all meet, there'll be expense there. It should be within budget, however. Costs associated with the fireworks show. And then next page, Front Beach Fest expenses. Sponsorship of the connector run, that check has been cut. The costs associated with the tree lighting. And then on page six, there's some expense associated with the music in the park event. Some of these are kind of in advance payments for deposits and such for future events. Bought a picnic table and a park bench for Mayor Carmen R. Bunch Park. Easter egg hunt, there'll be, that event obviously happened last weekend, so next time y'all meet, there'll be more expenses there. Holiday light displays, we replaced the waving Santa. And you can see the sponsorships collected against the light displays. Small ad in the Post and Courier. And then on page seven, we've made the transfer to the general fund for one police officer, it's budgeted out of state aid tax, and body armor. Down towards the bottom of the page, the budgeted expense to replace one of the fire department jet skis and one of the thermal imaging cameras. Those are kind of on a rotating basis. Page eight, the budgeted fire department aluminum boat was purchased, as was the rec department pickup truck. The inflatable boat was actually a committee request that y'all approved in a prior meeting, so that purchase has been made. Transfers for four of the 34 fire personnel, that's per the budget. On page nine, you can see the costs incurred through February for the renovation of the public restrooms, including a new boardwalk. That project is expected to be within budget as well and complete by the end of June. And then all sorts of costs associated with the Eclipse event. And note that we made money on that endeavor because the t-shirts sold so well. So that's a net gain to the fund. And on the last page is kind of a catch-all, sponsorships for the surf club, the tennis tournament, and there's where the 114 for the nameplates, that's where that comes in. And we had a small repair to some playground equipment for the $657. And you can see here items that have not yet been purchased. And some of these we will not purchase this year. And so we've rebudgeted them next year. For instance, the Public Works underground fuel tanks will get replaced this year. We expect that to be done by June 30. But the mobile data terminals for the fire department is rebudgeted next year. Maybe they got that with a grant. I think that's the way that worked. We didn't have to spend it regardless. The Public Works pickup truck has been deferred 1 year. The maintenance on the public safety building and other city facilities have all been rebudgeted for next year. And then the miscellaneous undesignated amounts that are in the budget have not yet been spent. So that's how we're ending up the expenditures through February, significantly below the budget. But we've got some big expenses to come between now and June 30.
All right, thank you. Do we need to make a motion on those minor overages on page 3?
I didn't notice one.
Irrigation, $65, trash barrel, $41.
The insurance.
Yes, but that irrigation charge is not going away, so can we make that one $1,000?
Sure.
So it's going to end up being more.
It's going to end up being close to $1,000. Mm-hmm.
And then the beach trash barrels, maybe 500 more, so take that one to 8,000 to give them some funds to buy paint and such if it's necessary.
And then the flood, that is what it is, I guess.
It's 1,032 over up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Would anybody make a motion that we approve those as read, increasing the irrigation to 1,000? Beach barrels, trash barrels to 8,000.
I make a motion.
Your second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catching that.
Okay.
Real quick, you have this long sheet. This is just the historical perspective on the quarterly payments from the state. You can see where we've added in the amounts that we've received from the county for corrections. And the budget is basically the most recent 4 quarters, actual, rounded, is what we anticipate for next year's budget. So that's just in a historical perspective. Okay. And that's all I have.
We have any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
Uh-huh.
We'll move on to old business. Nothing. New business. So let's go ahead and we'll consider now the sponsorship of South Carolina Turtle Trek in the amount of $10,000. And I believe we have a representative with us here.
Would you like me to?
It's better if you go to the mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie, the South Carolina Aquarium. I work on the development team and planned this event from the beginning. So the Turtle Trek was approved last month as a annual city event, which is very exciting. This is our third year hosting the event. It's a 5K Sunset Beach Run and Kids Fun Run that takes place at the Isle of Palms County Park on September 29th. The goal of the Turtle Trek is to raise money for our sea turtle rescue program, but also promote sea turtle conservation initiatives, trash-free beaches, community wellness by sharing lights out, fill in holes, knock down sandcastles, pick up your trash. We've seen an increase of turtles come into our facility with plastic impaction and all that. So the last 2 years, the run sold out, which was great. The Isle of Palms County Park places a capacity, so we've hit that capacity the last 2 years. And so we anticipate doing that again. Looking at the numbers from last year, we had 610 runners join us from 15 different states. Only 2% of those runners were from Isle of Palms. So 98% came in from different places to do this run. All proceeds from the turtle trek go to our sea turtle conservation and research initiative, so to support the operations of our hospital at the aquarium. I also included the activities of, you know, at a minimum of the marketing items that we would use the ATAX funding for. So that should be in your packet. Did you get this? This was at a minimum. Last year we received $7,500 in funding, but almost doubled that in kind of what we needed to successfully market this event throughout the whole summer. So we will really start opening it up probably June 1st through the end of September. So we'll have 4 months of marketing and advertising and different promotions for it. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate it. Do we have a motion on this?
A motion that it be accepted.
Okay. I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Now, Stephanie, this is, we're an advisory committee, so this will go on to the full council.
Mm-hmm. Ways and Means and Council.
Yeah, for their final approval. But thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
I see Perrin Lawson is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have anything for the committee that you'd like to present?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things to sort of update you on. I'll walk up to the mic. There's been a lot going on, and just wanted to share a few of those things with you. You may recall from the last time I was here, it seems like it's been a while, but one of the directions we got from council was to see if we could shift a lot of the promotion to the shoulder and off season, primarily fall, winter, and spring. Obviously, you've got enough people here in the summer. And one of the ways we've been doing that is by promoting what we call the island lifestyle. So it's less a focus on the beach and people in swimsuits, and more a focus on the activities that people can do more year round, whether that's playing tennis, riding a bike, fishing, playing golf, all these sorts of things that you associate with the island lifestyle and with the palm trees and everything like that. And we think it's going very, very well. One of the other things we've also done is we completely redesigned our beaches website. I encourage you to go take a look at that. It's charlestonareabeaches.com. There's a lot more video and a lot more photography on that site. So I think it does a lot better job of pulling people in and then helping them figure out which beach is the one that makes the most sense for them. Moving away from the whole the marketing side, but the part that's probably equally as important is sort of tracking how things are working. And this is something, Linda, I know you know that you were intimately involved in when we started the whole vacation rental process and tracking all that, thanks to the great efforts of the College of Charleston. Unfortunately, we had some challenges and some bumps in the road as some companies pulled out of that, and we didn't have enough information to continue doing the report that we had done. We'd gotten to the point where we had a report that covered all the area beaches and one specifically for the Isle of Palms. And the great thing about that was that we could look and get a really good good idea of how things had been going, both from the standpoint of occupancy, sold occupancy rate, and what sort of revenue was being generated per unit. Well, now we've kind of taken that up another notch. We've actually engaged a company, thanks to Dr. Brumby McLeod at the college, called Destimetrics, that got started in the ski resort areas, but sort of expanded out into beach resort areas as well. And this has gotten to be now a very much computerized program that gives us tons and tons of reports we never had. Actually, I brought an executive summary to give you today, Linda. And it's a, I don't have the March report. I haven't produced that yet, but I've got one through February. And the great thing about this is it not only shows with all these graphs and everything else, it's almost overwhelming how you've done historically, but it also has a forecast going out, how much business is on the books for 6 months, which I think from the standpoint of budgeting is going to be a super tool to have. And the great thing is all the metrics we had are all looking in the positive, such as for the next 6 months, occupancy, you know, forecast to be up a little over 6%, and the rate up about 3.2%. So that's all positive, and that means, you know, that's certainly for the people that own the rental companies and the property owners themselves, that's a positive, but it's also great for the revenues of the city of Isle of Palms, particularly as accommodations tax revenue is so important to helping the island function. So that's a good part. The other thing that ties in with this is you were all hearing all this talk about short-term rentals and Airbnb and how all that's affecting things. I'm sure you've read about what's been going on in downtown Charleston, but it's everywhere. It's out here. It's in North Charleston. It's on John's Island. It's all sorts of places. And everybody's trying to get a handle on it and trying to figure out what they need to do with it. And we fortunately were able to participate in a pilot project with Folly Beach using a new program. Again, thanks to Dr. Brumby McLeod and his sabbatical, where he found out all the great information with this program called STR Helper, which is short-term rental helper. Basically, got developed out in Utah so they could get their arms around this. But the big challenge we've heard up to this point is, well, you can't enforce it. How are you going to figure this thing out? Well, this thing helps you enforce it, because what it does is it scrapes the internet for all these, all the listings, then it overlays it with GIS data so you know exactly what's going on where. And then it's up to the individual municipality or the county to decide what it wants to do. In the case of Folly Beach, you know, they weren't trying to shut anybody down or tell them they couldn't do it. They just wanted to make sure everybody was in compliance. That, you know, the person in this house was, you know, submitting everything they were doing, had a short-term rental license, had their business license, and was, you know, remitting all the required taxes. The person next door might not have been. The interesting thing is they found out that there was very much a disparity as far as what was being done. They just wanted to bring everybody in compliance. City of Charleston is a completely different issue. Other than one small part of Elliott Borough, Cannonboro is illegal. But that doesn't mean there aren't 1,962 and counting on the Charleston Peninsula alone. Roughly 85% of those whole unit rentals, whether it's a house, a condo, or an apartment. In the city of Charleston's perspective, they are in violation of zoning and they want to shut that down. But the same token, where it is legal, and there are places I think where they're going to allow it to be legal other than just where it is now, they want to make sure it's a level playing field and everybody's permitting the same thing. The big challenge there being that although Airbnb signed an agreement with the state to remit state sales tax and state accommodations tax, that doesn't cover municipal A tax or county A tax. So the county and the various municipalities are being shortchanged. Again, it's up to each one to decide what they want to do. So what we've been in a position to do, working with the county on the Tammy Freilich there, is to help acquire or license this software that the county is going to use and then make available to all the municipalities. We're basically this month now, in April, Dr. McLeod, working on our behalf, is going to negotiate the contract for that. So I think very soon you'll all have a tool to use to make sure everybody's doing things the way they're supposed to. So we're really excited about that. And of course, our efforts in air service are continuing to pay off. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all the new flights that are added. The great one, I think, is a second flight daily to Nashville, because that's a huge market for us, both inbound and outbound. And the great thing about air service is, I think I've found, it's the one thing everybody can agree on, that that's something that's good. I mean, whether you're a retiree, whether you're working, whether you're visiting, whatever it is, that's a good thing. And fares across the board are down about 20% since Southwest started flying here in March of 2011. And of course, now we've got Allegiant flying to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis, Frontier going to Denver, Philadelphia, Chicago, Austin, and believe it or not, their flight to Trenton apparently has great advanced sales. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but obviously they knew something we didn't. So all of that is working in our favor. And kind of the last thing I'll mention, because it's really, really on the big picture side, is helping play a role in solving the parking and transportation problems that everybody's having. You may have read about the park and ride that's being started in downtown Charleston on April 15th. It's at 999 Morrison Drive. The idea is to get a lot of hospitality workers to park up there, take a shuttle down the rest of the further south on the peninsula. You know, the county's involved, Carter's involved, the city's involved, and it's really a pilot project because the COG is also looking at up to 25 other sites throughout the region to do park and ride. And so it's very important that this one's a success, because then we can get more people out of their cars. It's going to be better for all of us. And going hand in hand with that is the challenge we've got in finding enough people to work. I know Wild Dunes and everybody out here has got such a challenge with that. We had a job opportunity fair in Mount Pleasant. We've had one in downtown Charleston, Mount Pleasant, and in North Charleston. We've got one coming up in the next couple of months in West Ashley. The idea would be find people who need jobs and ideally get them to work close to home. Certainly, you know, for Isle of Palms, it makes more sense if you can find people on the island or at least at Mount Pleasant to come over and work, and they're not coming from North Charleston or John's Island or something like that, because that's just creating challenges for your businesses. Are these people going to get to work on time, or are they even going to be able to get there? I know that's one of the big challenges a lot of the hotels in Mount Pleasant are having with bus connections and things. People just can't get there on time. So we're sort of suffering from the challenges of prosperity right now with 3.1% unemployment. And another thing that we've gotten into with that as well is looking for non-traditional sources of employees, working with 180 Place, Turning Leaf, and a lot of other organizations that are taking people who are down in their luck for whatever reason, and who've made the commitment to turn their lives around and trying to find them gainful employment. And you know, that's just chipping away at things, but we've had some good initial success in putting people in jobs. They're thrilled to have the jobs. The employers are thrilled to have them. You know, and we're not saying everything's going to work out. You know, it's not always going to be 100% rosy, but so far most of those people who've been placed have turned out to be very good employees. They're very appreciative of the opportunity to work, and the employers are delighted to have them. So I guess I'll wrap it up by saying we're involved in a lot of stuff that we typically wouldn't have been in the past, but in order for our industry and really our community as a whole to continue to succeed, we don't have to be the only people involved in it, but we've got to be involved in it as well as local and county government and everybody else. So I'll close on that. Probably more information than you needed, but if you have any questions, I'm certainly happy to answer those.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Good.
I know it's your holiday this week.
I mean, I was in town.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Baron. Appreciate it. All right, very good. I think the next agenda item is the budget 2019. So, Linda.
So, let me first give you an overview on where City Council is with the budgeting process, so that you just kind of have a little bit of an idea of how the ATAX budget will and its timing will interface with that. City Council has had one budget workshop where they looked at the capital items and also a menu of things that were not in the overall draft of the budget that was prepared for them to work on, but that were things that either through the citizens forums or through staff information or just things that we had heard from individual council members, they were presented with this menu of items that they could consider to be incorporated into what would become the final budget document. So as a result of that meeting, they sent each of the committees of council an assignment to look at their parts of that and come back with information on what to include or not to include off the menu. Also, whether there were expenses that they felt they needed to add that maybe weren't on the menu, or expenses that they felt needed to be cut that were in the draft document, and, you know, just kind of an overall discussion. And so that's what's going on now, is that the individual committees are beginning to have discussions. And also there's been some input concerning possible new revenue sources. So it's, you know, expenses, revenues, creative things, and all of which has been centered around trying to hear what the comments were at the citizens forums and direct the energy of the budget and the assignments in the budget towards fulfilling what the majority of the input that was received out of that. So it's very resident focused, while at the same time making sure that we tend to the needs of the service delivery to the visitors to the island. So this draft of the ATAX budget that you have before you is the same document that's incorporated into the green budget. We had sort of identify our budgets by color over the versions. And so, you know, it's at a very early stage. There's a subsequent meeting of council set up on the 11th. That's the next budget workshop where they'll get all of the input from the committees, including any input that you all wish to give as well concerning this draft of the budget. And they will then, you know, make decisions about, with all of that input, towards a final budget. So with that, I'll kind of go over the revenues and expenses that are in for ATAX, and we've kind of touched on some of this already. Some of the data that Perrin provided kind of goes hand in glove with this. But on the revenue side, you can see we're projecting the numbers to go up slightly. So last year's budget, it was $1,671,000, and then the 12 months ending 228, we are already at $1,773,000. That's line number 226. So the projection for the FY19 budget is $1,769,050 at this point. So so that is included on line 226 for the revenues piece. As you know, the city typically makes transfers into other funds to help support expenses that are in those funds that are tourism related expenses. And so items on line 228 through 235 are the estimates of the amount of that expense on the transfers that would come out of state ATAX for FY19. So a transfer of $12,109 to the general fund for part-time firefighters, $272,708 for full-time firefighters, and you can see how that these numbers compare to prior years. And then for the police patrol officers to the general fund, $72,787. For marina debt service, and as the city treasurer said, this will be going away, not for FY19, but for after that. There's $228,915 for 75% of the marina debt service, and then the recreation building fund for the beach run, $3,000. So the revenues net of transfers, $1,179,981. So on the expense side, I am more than happy to go over all of the details in this, but I think partly what's important to point out to you are either rebudgets from the year that we're currently in, or those new things that are in here, or greater expenses that are in here. So we often refer to this thing, if you look at line 258, as the Hill Report. And I'll just remind you from last year that what that is a document that council funded about 2 years ago that basically looked at all of our city buildings and identified maintenance actions that needed to occur on those buildings and made recommendations and estimates of pricing. And so we have tried to incorporate into our budget each year some of those items. So the line number 258, the $93,248, that is 25% of the Hill Report year one maintenance at the public safety building. And then that does includes full roof replacement over there at that building. So on the capital outlay, there's, and that's the next line, 259, That's two police patrol vehicles and 25% of the cost to replace radios. And as you all know, when you look at the city's initiatives related to large capital purchases, we have a savings plan that when we save over the years until we get to the point at which those things need to be replaced and then those funds are expended. So, you know, sometimes you'll see this note from reserves, which means this is coming from funds that we've saved for this purpose, and it's now time to spend them. The other, so again, you'll see the Hill report in the fire department, 266, that's line 266, $112,979, so it's you know, kind of split between departments there in terms of the expense. Line 274, same thing, Hill report maintenance, including public works roof replacement. Those roof replacements have really rolled around on us this year. And then one of the biggest jumps that you see is line 291, contracted services. We have some contracts that are going to, that this is the last year. And these, you know, like beach cleanup is one of them, and we don't really know what will happen concerning the attendance situation and the cleaning situation at the newly renovated public restrooms. And so you see a jump from what was budgeted in FY18 on line 291 of $134,700 to $161,000. We're just trying to anticipate that some of those expenses, since they will be bid out again, and it's been a long time since we have bid them out, you know, we're trying to have a cushion there, understanding that our contracts might not be as favorable this time, and so we've added a 15% cushion there that just kind of assumes that those expenses might be greater. And, you know, if you are aware of people that are businesses that might want to bid on those, please spread the word. And then the bottom line down there, you see a total state accommodation tax surplus deficit. It shows $538,035. This basically means that that difference is going to be made up by funds that are on hand. And you can see that's identified. Some of those funds are savings that we've been holding on to, waiting for these replacements. So while the revenues projected for FY19 and state aid tax will not cover all of these identified expenses, the fund balance that we've created by saving those funds will cover the amount that's on hand. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. And I would want to just give a shout out to this committee. As you all may or may not know, I serve on the State of South Carolina's Tourism Expenditure Review Committee. And also to shout out to the staff. And so I get to see and hear about a good many of what the other local governments are doing and how they're reporting. And I'm always so proud of the city's work because I think that the City of Isle of Palms does a really good job handling its ATAX funds. And some of the smaller communities struggle to know what to do with it and meet the requirements. And then others get super creative with the kind of stretch the limits of whether or not it's actually putting getting back out there to draw more tourism. So anyway, just a shout out to you that basically I think our structure is really good and does meet that. They tend to be really impressed when we sell something and we actually put those funds back into the ATAX fund if in fact it participated in the purchase of it, and that accounting, which is Debbie's good work, it impresses that committee a good bit.
It's good to see that we had enough reserves on hand that we prepared properly.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you. Do we at this point need to do anything with this?
Ultimately, you will need to have a motion to approve the ATAX budget. This would be the point at which, if you have recommendations for changes or alternative uses of the funds, then this would be a good time to share those concerns. It would be we're more adaptable now than we will be as we get more down to the wire with this. And we are later this year in this process than we've ever been. We wanted to wait until after the special election of city council before we really started the budgeting process. So that kind of put us about a month behind where we would normally be. So Debbie keeps reassuring me that we have more time, but I like to start early and be done early.
Well, does anybody have any comments or projects or anything for the committee that they'd like to see as part of it or any changes?
I don't know if this can work in with this, but at the dog park at the rec center, can ATAX funds be used to provide additional seating benches there?
Well, of course, you know, we have, I guess, probably more residents than visitors that use it, but visitors do use it. In fact, we send them down there, you know, if they're at City Hall picking up a t-shirt and somehow or another we learn that they're traveling with a pet or something. I think that there might be other sources within the budget to do that. You're just advocating.
I just didn't know if, you know, it could assist with something.
Yeah, like you're advocating that they're that we fund more seating down there.
Yeah. When the Wildlife Expo was here, there were a lot of people that I ran into, exhibitors and visitors.
Good.
And I mean, there's just not sufficient seating.
Okay.
In that park for visitors. And so I just wondered if it was something that could be looked at.
So I'll carry that suggestion forward and we can really examine where we are in our budget for this year to see if there's, you know, any wiggle room to go ahead and take care of that. So,
One bench per year or something.
Yeah.
Just some little something.
Okay. Anything else?
Anybody else? Okay, very good. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it. I guess we need to talk about the date for our next meeting. With the budget process, are we looking at next month, I assume? We're available. You tell us what works in your schedule.
You know, we're going to have a public hearing in May, so
should we tentatively set a date and then let Marie tell us if we need it or if we need to postpone?
So let's think of this through. I'm totally thrown off by the fact that we have a different budget schedule this year. So like in my mind, I'm thinking it might be necessary to have another meeting in April rather than waiting to May. Because the budget that goes, that's advertised is, you know, and there's a 15-day advertising window. So, you know, we have to do that before we have second reading on the budget. And I'll need the ATAX approved.
Is there any opportunity for them to approve this one, and as long as it doesn't change considerably?
It's fine by me. If you guys are comfortable with that. If it changes, we'll call a meeting to...
Makes sense to me. I know you guys don't want another meeting if you don't have to help, but you've got plenty going on, I'm sure.
There could be a small change, but... I can't imagine there being much of an increase. Now I can see it maybe coming down some.
I think we're fine if it comes down.
Yes. So my suggestion then would be to go ahead and make a motion to approve this version, and then, you know, we'll take it from there.
We'll go from there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That way the scheduling doesn't get as tricky.
Mm-hmm. And then if something changes, then we can reach out and maybe organize another meeting.
Well, before we adjourn this meeting, let's go ahead and does anybody have a motion that we approve, tentatively approve the budget as shown?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Dusty? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
You bet.
Now you can set another meeting.
Well, then would we set one for June? Because May's going to be crazy for you guys.
That works.
Okay. May or June 6th is the first Wednesday, 13th is the second Wednesday.
I could say the 6th.
Okay.
That works for everybody.
I will be out of town.
Oh.
But you're more than one. I'm sure we'll get four.
But is it just as easy to go to the 13th, I guess? If you're going to be in town on the 13th, then.
I will.
I'm good either day.
Okay.
Either day.
And let's work around
Dave. Let's go 13th. Hate to do that.
So June 13th.
June 13th, and it's not a Friday.
And are we going noon?
Are we going 11 or noon?
We in the past we did noon. We moved a couple of meetings to 11 to accommodate
I think it's
Margaret.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Is everybody all right with 11?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do 11 if that helps her to be a better chance.
What's that next time?
And I'll be on time. Not early. 11 a.m. Okay, very good.
Got it.
Is anything else for the betterment of the organization? I have a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
That's the button.
Mm-hmm, please.